Pacifica Station KPFT in Houston. Headline editors are Randy Zimmerman and Nell Abram at WMNF in Tampa, Florida. Technical producers are Jade Paget-Seekins and Pauline Bartolone at Pacifica Station KPFA in Berkeley. Josh Chaffin is our DC editor at Pacifica Station WPFW. Web support from Vanessa Tate and Leslie Holmes. You can visit FSRN online at www.fsrn.org. I'm Deepa Fernandez.
Hi, you're tuned into the most dangerous station in the nation. This is Don Letts of Big Audio Dynamite. You're listening to WUSB, Stony Brook.
Well, we certainly live in strange times, don't we? It's off the wall, and certainly that's a good description of where things are going. If you just pay attention to what's happening in the world. I gotta say, though, it was touch and go there for a while. I was really very worried that things were gonna get extremely ugly, you know? And I know, you know, a lot of people are more pessimistic than me. A lot of people have visions of doom and things like that. But, you know, you just have to sort of hold out faith. Faith in whatever it is that you believe in. God, maybe, or you know, whatever it is. Whatever it is that you find gives you strength. That's the important thing. That's all that matters. I first really started following the story, I guess, you know, when everyone else started following it. And I always figured, you know, in the end, at some point, things would work out. Things would get resolved somehow. Saner heads would prevail. And I'm happy to say that tonight, Tuesday, March 18th, 2003, 6:05 p.m., that saner heads have prevailed, and that which we have all been dreading will in all likelihood be averted. That's right, Tony Soprano will be returning to the waste management industry as early as next week. Actor James Gandolfini dropped the lawsuit he filed to void his Sopranos contract. The first in a quick succession of steps toward a new deal that will more than double his $400,000 an episode salary. Now, of course, we've all been following this story where Gandolfini had filed a lawsuit against HBO, and HBO filed a lawsuit against him, and then they canceled the filming, and it looked like, you know, the whole show was just going to not take off anymore. It was going to just stop because people wanted too much money and people weren't willing to pay them enough and all that kind of thing. And thanks to the mediation efforts of Kofi Annan, who had a bit of time on his hands in the last week, basically things have been dropped. Lawsuits are being dropped and agreements are being reached, and it looks like filming is about to resume, and everybody's going to make a lot of money. It's so nice when you can, you know, report a happy ending to something so important. In other news, okay, the 48-hour thing. Yeah, okay, all right, yeah, war's coming. We've got a war, another war. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how people say, we're going to be at war in less than a day. Actually, a little more than a day. Yeah, Bush gave his 48-hour thing last night, I think at about 8:10 p.m. Eastern time. So, of course, that means if you follow this, if you take it literally, if you actually take the guy seriously, that 8:10 p.m. on Wednesday is when the 48 hours expires, and that's when Saddam Hussein has to leave Dodge or else. And, well, I'm happy that, you know, he didn't say 47 hours, because then my other show would have been preempted probably, since I'm on at 7 o'clock. And, you know, at least this way I can count down to, you know, to D hour or whatever it's called. But people keep saying, you know, we're going to be at war. We're not going to be at war. We're not. We have no conception of what war is like. I mean, the closest we ever came was September 11th. And we never recovered from that. In fact, our whole society is falling apart, in great part due to the people who have taken advantage of that situation. So, no, if we were to face the same thing that the people in whatever country we point to this week are facing, I think we might realize that war isn't like a football game. It's real hell. It's something that is to be avoided at all costs. This is something that, you know, most leaders seem to get. Most leaders seem to understand this. You know, Jacques Chirac pretty much explained this, and Chancellor of Germany, and, you know, leaders everywhere seem to understand, except for maybe Tony Blair. War is something to be avoided at all costs. And in our case, in the case of the United States, we seem to be embracing it as, I guess, you know, a way to boost popularity, a way to maybe help the economy somehow, a way to just get everybody thinking in the same way, a way to spread our form of governments throughout the world. I mean, literally, this is what they believe is going to happen. They think that, you know, the way Japan became our friends after World War II and became a democratic regime, they think it's going to happen in the Mideast. They think that, you know, we're going to make Iraq into a democracy, and then we're going to move on and make Jordan and Syria and maybe even Israel. Who knows? We're going to make all these places into carbon copies of the U.S., where they speak English everywhere and treat us very nicely and don't cause any more problems. I don't know. It's really not going to be that easy, I don't think. It's going to be a big mess. But one thing that we're not going to be experiencing, at least not right away, is war here. I mean, yeah, we can raise the alert level to orange. We can do all kinds of clampdowns on dissent and surveillance, install that everywhere. But we won't have bombs falling from the sky onto our streets, houses, schools, hospitals. You know, when that starts happening, okay, then we are in a war. But until then, we're just participating in some bizarre lopsided ritual that we occasionally like to indulge in, where we go to another country and drop bombs over there and you know, warn them against doing anything in return. I mean, you know, basically we've been saying for the last several weeks, Saddam Hussein, you better disarm because we're going to attack you, and we don't want anything being fired at us, so get rid of all your weapons so we can do this quickly. And God forbid they actually strike back at us, either here or in some other place. You know, that's something that's that we just cannot conceive of, because that would be... why would they ever do that to us? It's a mess. It's going to get worse. But that's right. I don't want to really focus on this in a negative sort of a way, because, well, you know, war does bring people together. And it makes people think, makes people, well, no, actually, it doesn't make people think, does it? It makes some people think. A bunch of us went to the Huntington protest last Friday. A bunch of people converged on the intersection of 25A and Route 110 and basically did a, you know, the whole chanting thing, holding up signs, that kind of thing. No particular reason why that intersection. I guess it was convenient to the people that organized it. And I gotta tell you, it was fun. It really was a lot of fun. Night and day difference between what happened in New York and what happened there. Meaning that the police actually were great. They were very nice. They, you know, they chatted with us. They let people get away with a little more than they were allowed to. For instance, you need, you know, permits to use megaphones and things like that. And these people were marching all over the place. And, you know, the cops worked with them. That's the way they should be operating. There were no problems at all. as opposed to what happened in New York a few weekends ago, where people were penned in and charged with horses and attacked for all kinds of bizarre reasons. It was great. It really was a lot of fun. The people I was with, we basically, I think this happens every time I go to a demonstration. Demonstrations require a certain amount of obedience. And the people I was with, along with me, we don't obey very well. So when people say, oh, we're going to march over here, we decided to stay behind and just sort of stand on the corner because, you know, it was freezing cold. And I didn't really see the point of marching to a Citibank ATM and protesting there because they did something bad. It was really cool to be on the intersection, have everybody passing us, thinking that we were the only five people there in the whole demonstration. We'd get all kinds of reactions from the people driving by, you know? We'd get the Verizon symbol for some reason. People kept flashing us. I don't know what that's all about. But some people would give us the middle finger. And, of course, when they do that, you break out in cheers, which confuses them no end. And it either makes them even more hostile or it makes them laugh. Either way, you've won. It was just really good expressing. It always feels good to express yourself. That's, I guess, what it basically boils down to. So I hope people keep that in mind throughout the ordeal that's ahead. You will have the opportunity to express yourself many, many times. Don't run from it. Because lots of times people listen. Lots of times it does make a difference. And you know, what's good about it is that you get to think about why you believe the things you do. You know, maybe you'll change your mind. Maybe you'll strengthen your position. Anything is possible. So that's something to look forward to. Now, there's all kinds of demonstrations coming up. I'm trying to find the actual webpage here. There's something in New York City coming up this Saturday, sponsored by United for Peace. And these, you know, I got to tell you, this webpage, if you go to unitedforpeace.org, it's the best organized, most attractive looking activist webpage I think I've seen in a long time. You can find out where everything is taking place throughout the country, maybe even throughout the world, I don't know. And get all kinds of other information, get on mailing lists, that kind of thing, see updated news reports. It's pretty inspirational. But there's going to be a March for Peace and Democracy on Saturday, March 22nd, 12 noon in New York. And get this, the mayor and the police department have actually said, okay, you guys can march. We're not going to interfere this time. Could it be they've learned something? Could it be they saw how badly things went last time when they tried to restrict everybody and keep people from getting to the protest? We'll see. We'll see. They could learn something from the cops in Huntington, I'll say that. So basically that takes place, I believe, on 42nd Street at noon, in that area anyway. Go to Times Square. If you want more information, call 212-603-3700. And again, that website is unitedforpeace.org. And then New York City is unitedforpeace.org/NYC. Okay, we are in fundraising mode. Believe it or not, I just walked in here a little while ago, and we're still putting it together, actually. We're still putting together the phones and signs and things like that. So this, we have the honor of being the first program to kick this off. And this is a good test to see just how strong our listeners are, how vital everybody is to the whole process. Now, let me tell you, WUSB is a radio station out of Stony Brook, New York. We broadcast to a good part of Long Island. And recently, we relaunched our online signal. It's a really good signal, too, unlike the signal we had before. You can hear this throughout the world. I know, I've listened to it throughout the world. And it comes in really nicely. It, you know, good sound quality, all that kind of thing. And it allows you, the listener, in far distant places to participate, to be part of this process, to help build it. But in order to do that, you know what the speech is. If you listen to the other radio station, you know that we've had to do this occasionally. This place is a little different, though. What we do at BAI when we fundraise there is we raise, like, you know, $1.2 million in the course of 3 weeks. And here at this place, it's much, much smaller than that. In say, about a month, We're happy to raise $40,000. You know, we're a lot happier too because, well, you know, it seems to be a lot more of a homegrown effort. So obviously, every bit counts, every contribution counts. It's the same as any place else. If you want free speech to survive, you have to support it. And this is a place where you can participate. You can be part of the whole speech process. And that's why occasionally we have to ask for support. We don't have commercials. We would have to have broken for commercials maybe 3 or 4 times by now. And a lot of those people would not support the things that we say. And because they don't support the things we say, they would not allow us to say those things. It's as simple as that. That's why you don't hear on regular radio, commercial radio, you don't hear these things being talked about. I mean, are they of interest to you? Do you find yourself listening and taking an interest? I think you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening. You'd be, you know, listening to music someplace or just having it on in the background and trying to ignore all the things that are going on in the world. But, you know, when you ignore all the things that are going on in the world, you have crap like this, where the whole rest of the world hates us and we don't know why. You know, what happened? What did we miss? Well, be part of the process. You won't miss anything. You won't agree with everything. Well, that's for sure. I don't agree with everything I hear. But you don't have to. You don't have to. When I go to these rallies, you know, there's always people there that I completely disagree with, that I, you know, find comical and, you know, bizarre in various ways. But they're part of the whole thing. They're part of the process. They're part of why we engage in speech and discussion. And if you're just going to hang out with people you agree with all the time, you're going to be a pretty boring person. You know, it's extremely important to participate. Oh, yes, I have to give out the phone number, don't I? Okay, 631-632-WUSB is our telephone number. 631-632-WUSB, which is 631-632-9872 for those letter-impaired people in various parts of the world. Let me tell you what we have. We've got a bunch of things here. I don't want to spend too much time describing everything because that takes away from time that we can spend talking on the phone and talking about issues and things like that. But we have a number of different pledged levels and some things that you're only going to find here. Okay, well, let me give you the basic rundown first. This is the basic rundown. For a pledge of $25, you get a WUSB mug or a WUSB hat, one of which I am wearing right now, the hat, that is. For $35, you can get a T-shirt, and we have sizes all the way from small to huge, XXL. Might even have bigger than that. And for a $50 pledge, you get a long-sleeve shirt, also small to XXL. That's the generic station premiums that we offer. But we also have some special things that are just being featured for Off the Wall. And let me find one of these so I can tell you exactly what I'm talking about here. This is reason why I believe in saving everything. Yeah, I collect things. I collect lots of things. And, you know, I try to throw things out when they're useless, but other times I keep things around because I know one day they're going to be useful. I think, you know, we all have that instinct in us to kind of, like, save things, and eventually we realize how stupid it is and we throw everything out. Well, I didn't do it this time. Back in 1991... Yeah, 1991. In fact, I was doing brain damage then here at this radio station. We had the whole Iraq thing going on again for the first time. It wasn't quite the same way as it is now, at least not at the beginning. There was not really that much of an anti-war movement before things started. There was some. But it had been so long since we had a war that everybody was getting into it, you know? It's like, well, you know, World War II was so much fun. Korea, Vietnam, you know, we owe it to our kids to give them a war. Otherwise, you know, they're not going to grow up being able to, like, trade stories in the veteran's home or whatever, you know, is look forward to an old age. So, people were kind of, like, you know, looking forward to the war. And then once the war began, then people started to say, okay, you know, let's stop this. This is silly. Let's not do this anymore. And there were some marches in Washington, D.C., but I don't think it was anything along the lines of what we're seeing here. Now, at the time, I was one of the people that was into the whole anti-war thing the whole time because I just thought it was extremely stupid. In fact, I was, ever since that August when we started, moving military supplies to Saudi Arabia to get Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait. Remember, that's what this is all about to begin with, getting him out of Kuwait. I realize that this could drag on. This could be something that that could be a real bad thing for everybody. So I made, I went to the guy that makes 2600 stickers, you know, Free Kevin and even USB stickers, and asked him to make some special stickers that just basically say the war. No, not stop the war, just the war, with red background and white letters. Yeah. And I made a bunch of these stickers that just say the war. Now, you might ask yourself, what good are stickers that, that you know, are the same color as a stop sign with the same lettering and all that kind of thing that just say the war? Well, I can't answer that. I can't answer that. I'm legally bound from answering that. But I got a whole box of these things. And you know what happened? As soon as I got the stickers, the damn war ended. Yeah, the war ended, and I was there with a whole box full of war stickers that I could not use in any way. Until now. I found the box, opened the box, the stickers are still there, they're sticky, they're really sticky. And we're offering them for anybody that calls up today to 631-632-WUSB. For every pledge of $10, you get two stickers. So if you pledge $50, you get 10 stickers. If you pledge $100, you get, well, you know, you can do the math. And we have a whole box, so there's no limit to that. And that's not all. There's more. There's more. You may have listened on the other radio station. You may know that we've been involved in the hacker world and all kinds of other things going on. There's this guy named Kevin Mitnick who was imprisoned for being a computer hacker for 5 years. Before that, he was on the run for a couple of years. Before that, he was on probation, and a real story of hell. A real story where nobody can really understand why. What did this guy do? Why are people acting this way towards him? Is he really that much of a threat? So we went out, and we made a documentary about the whole thing. It's called Freedom Downtime. It's played on Free Speech TV. Played at Icon. It's played in some film festivals. And we're offering it here for a pledge of $40 or more. In fact, not only are we offering the film, we're offering an autographed copy. That's right, yours truly will autograph. Somehow I'll figure out how to sign my name on this box. And that will be for any pledge of $40 or more. Plus you get the stickers, plus you get whatever else, you know, is the generic USB premiums. That's a lot. You know, you're getting quite a bit here. 631-632-WUSB. And did I have something else? Yes, for a pledge of $100 or more. You may have heard this on the other radio station. We're offering 2,600 hooded sweatshirts for the first time ever. And maybe the last time ever, because we don't know how popular these things, you know, will get. They might be, you know, they might contain some kind of symbolism in them that will make people very upset when they see them. I don't know. I think they're going to look pretty cool. We're designing them right now. But for pledges of $100 or more, you get all that. You get the stickers, you get the tape, you get the sweatshirt, and you get all the USB stuff. Now, if that doesn't make anybody out there run to the phone and dial, we have no calls on the line. No calls. You see, on the other station, they'd have to call out to the street to get people to run in to answer the phone at this point, because this deal is just too good to pass up. Yeah, if you're waiting for something more, there's not going to be any more. That's it. We're tapped out. That's as much as we can offer here. Now, since Radiothon is just beginning, this is our annual fundraiser here at the radio station, you also have the ability, by dialing 631-632-WUSB now, well, now is not part of the number, but, you know, dial that number now, you can be the first person to call in for the Radiothon. There we go. Now, that phone is ringing. I assume the person wants to pledge something. There's another phone call. We have five lines. 632-WUSB, area code 631. Get war stickers, red war stickers with white lettering. You can figure out what to do with them. I'm not going to tell you. Two per $10 pledged. No limit. So, yeah, if you pledge $1,000, you'll get a lot of stickers. And the film, the autographed copy of Freedom Downtime, for a pledge of $40 or more. And a hooded sweatshirt on top of that for a pledge of $100 or more. And you know what? Every pledge really means a lot to this place. It really does. You know, a pledge of $20 makes people do handsprings and things like that. Three phone calls. Okay, and people are freaking out in there. That's good. I like to see people freaking out. I can actually see the volunteers now. I can see them. And I can't do that at BAI. They're way down the hall. So 631-632-WUSB, four calls on the line. We only have one more line, so if all it takes is one more person, and we have a bingo, and that's always fun. Yeah. Now, okay, we have a special guest, but he's on the phone right now, so I'm going to bring him in just a little bit. Yeah, he's busy taking your pledges, which is great to see. And again, thanks everybody for calling in. 631-632-WUSB, especially those of you who are calling from faraway, distant places. I can't tell you how much you people mean to the whole process, because by getting onto the internet, by being able to spread the signal away from just our local area and into the whole world, that makes things so much stronger. We're able to reach people who otherwise might never hear particular programs, particular ideas, and we're able to hear from you in addition and get your feedback. Sometimes, you know, here at Stony Brook, which, you know, for those who don't know, is a state university in the middle of Long Island, sometimes it feels like things just aren't happening, like everything is dead, you know, there's no activity, especially now. It's spring break, I believe. So it can get kind of, you know, you can get the feeling that there's nobody around, that nobody cares. For instance, and maybe somebody can correct me, have there been any anti-war marches or rallies on campus? I mean, they're every place else, everywhere else, on the intersection of 25A and 110, for God's sake. But where is it on a college campus like this? When I went to this school, which wasn't all that long ago, back in the 80s, there were demonstrations all the time. You know, remember at one point they were trying to, this is really a while back, they were trying to get the Shah out of Iran, and people would be demonstrating outside the student union building with bags over their heads because they were afraid that they'd be, you know, their families would be tortured if pictures got back to the regime. 631-632-WUSB, full switchboard. I'm in awe. If you get a busy signal, just wait. I'm sure those lines will free up. And again, thanks to our volunteers in there. We're offering war stickers, two per $10 pledge, autographed copy of Freedom Downtime for a $40 pledge, and hooded sweatshirts for a $100 pledge. And they include, the $100 pledge includes the video and the stickers, as well as all the WUSB stuff that you want. It's quite a good deal. If you went out and bought all that, you probably pay a lot more than what you're pledging. But the real reason to pledge is because you care. You know, you care about the station. You care about free speech. You care about being able to communicate with people throughout the world. Not just here in Long Island anymore, but throughout the world. But anyway, so Stony Brook was a real bastion of free speech. You know, there'd be people demonstrating all kinds of things. And I just get the feeling now that people shy away from that. I don't know why. I don't know what's happened. You know, maybe somebody on campus can fill me in on this and tell me that there are, you know, there's something positive going on. I mean, I do see the one single positive thing other than us on campus that I see is the Stony Brook Press, because they actually seem to know what's going on in the world, and they actually seem to speak out and, you know, maybe offend people sometimes. Great, that's what you have to do when you speak up. You offend people. I mean, everything I say is not something that anybody's going to agree with all the time. I'd be very scared if they did. But it's essential. It's essential that you have many different voices. It's essential that you have people taking an interest. I can't stand it when people say, I'm not paying any, I don't watch the news anymore. I don't care what's going on. I don't read the papers. You know, they just live their solitary life. And, you know, the whole world can fall apart. And, you know, it doesn't mean anything to them because they're not paying attention. Well, I say it's because of people like that that the world is falling apart. How long do you think war has been delayed by all the anti-war activity going on in the world? I'd say quite a bit. Would have started quite a while ago. And yeah, it's still going to start. We haven't stopped it. That doesn't mean we stop fighting. Doesn't mean that we give it up. And a lot of these people who stand up against this kind of thing, it's a real inaccuracy to say that, you know, our brave soldiers are over there fighting and dying for us. And yeah, you know, that's true to an extent because that's what they believe. I happen to think it's a real waste of time, but that doesn't take away from the fact that people are over there risking their lives for what they believe is right. Now, what bothers me is when people fail to realize that that holds true on other sides as well. When somebody stands up in front of a tank in Tiananmen Square, or when somebody stands in front of a bulldozer and gets crushed to death, as happened in Israel this last week, does that person not have just as much courage knowing they're standing up against something that could kill them, making the ultimate sacrifice? You know, I followed that story. That story made me sick because there are pictures all over the net of what happened, of what took place. Fortunately, not live video. I don't think I could take that. But in case you didn't hear, an activist who was demonstrating against houses being destroyed over there was herself crushed to death by a bulldozer that did not stop for her. And I've seen the reaction to this. I did some research into the story, and I saw the way people reacted to this person's death. Now, indie media runs sites throughout the world, and they have sites in Israel as well. And it was on one of those sites, it might be the Jerusalem indie media site, where people were basically mocking what she did. You know, saying that, how stupid can you be standing in front of a bulldozer? You know, this person got what she deserved. And all kinds of sick things like that. It really makes you think, you know, what kind of people are these that are so filled with hatred that they don't realize that somebody is simply standing up for something they believe in and died for that? And that's not supposed to be worth something. I mean, it works both ways. A lot of people are blind to all the people who live in fear every day of the person next to them blowing up. And that's just as bad. One breeds the other, and it doesn't matter who's more guilty. The fact is, the hatred is winning. Now, in this particular case, though, the woman who was standing in front of the bulldozer, her 23-year-old Rachel Curry from Olympia, Washington, there's pictures of her in her red, or is it orange? My printer's black and white, so I can't see here, but on a computer screen, if you go to electronicintifada.net, you'll see pictures of her standing in front of the bulldozer that later killed her. So the person obviously knew she was there, and even if she was lying down on the ground and the person couldn't see her, he still must have had a clue that she was around someplace. And you don't just, I'm sorry, if somebody stands in front of your car, unless you feel that your life is in imminent danger, you have absolutely no right to run over somebody. And I don't think a soldier inside a bulldozer that's protected against weaponry of all sorts would honestly feel that that his life is in danger. So the media ignoring this story and people reacting in all kinds of sick and hostile ways towards what this person was trying to do, that's the kind of thing that you have to notice, you have to point out, you have to fight and make sure that this kind of thing does not get repeated. Because if it does, you just become insensitive to it all. And it's a real tragedy for everybody. 631-632-WUSB. Thanks for those people calling in. Again, we are in fundraising mode. Yes, fundraising mode. And that means that we appeal to you for calls to help this radio station keep going. And I got to tell you, this radio station has been responsible for so much. For those of you who aren't familiar, ever since I started college, way back in the 70s, I was involved with this place. And it really taught me to grow, taught me to express myself, taught me to, you know, to not be afraid, to be different in any way, and to be creative in as many ways as I could possibly think of. It tells everybody this. Everybody has this opportunity. Radio stations like this are so incredibly rare. If they exist in the first place, they're liable to be taken over by entities like National Public Radio, or maybe sold to religious zealots someplace who take it over and run their little spiel on there. On this island, on Long Island alone, I honestly can't think of another station anywhere like this. I've seen stations get shut down. There's a station like this in Southampton. It's now National Public Radio. No students. CW Post, same thing. Another station in Nassau was just shut down, went out of business or something like that. There's very few stations like this. There are stations, you know, great stations like FMU, PKM, but they're very few and far between. And you have to protect them or they will go away. That's you know, that's the fact. So it's amazing, really, that we can get away with this, that we can, once a year for a few weeks, ask for money from our listeners and get some phone calls and keep this place going as a result. Now, all the radio shows I've been involved with over the years, all the ways of expressing myself that I've basically learned through this place, has had a tremendous influence in all of the things I've done, including 2600, including activities at BAI, including activism, including just talking to people and learning things and traveling. This place was an inspiration for all of that and more. And I like to think that there are more people around now and more people who are coming in the future who will have similar experiences. And that's why it's important to keep this place going so that it'll be there for them. 631-632-WUSB. Again, we have lots of different pledge packages. Our volunteers should know what they are. But if you want to know for yourself, if you need further further prodding, basically they have all kinds of radiothon premiums. For $25, you get a WUSB mug or WUSB hat. For $35, a WUSB t-shirt, or for $50, a WUSB long sleeve shirt. And if you pledge $90.10, you get everything, you know, because our frequency is 90.1. That's the 90.1 club. But let me fill you in on a little secret here. If you up that by $10, you pledge $100, you really get everything. Because we have two different sets of premiums here. We have the WUSB premiums, and we have the off-the-wall premiums. The off-the-wall premiums are only being offered during this radio program. And those include, for $40, an autographed copy of Freedom Downtime, or our two-hour documentary on VHS. And for $100, you get that plus the brand-new 2600 hooded sweatshirt, which is guaranteed to make you get noticed by all kinds of people who otherwise would simply pass you in the street and not think twice. And for every $10 that you pledge, you get two of the special souvenir stickers that say the war on them, with red backing and white lettering, that are really sticky and can go in all kinds of places that we're not going to tell you where to put them, because that's not what it's about. But for every $10, you get two of those stickers, and there's no limit to that. 631-632-WUSB, country code 1, for those of you calling from foreign lands. I'm looking at our special guest now, but I don't think he's paying any attention to me. In fact, I don't think anyone in there is paying attention to me. Maybe if I wave my arms around, he'll see me. Ah, there he is. Ah, okay. I think you hear me, too. Yeah. Just not paying any attention. If you could step in here for a minute, sir. I put quotes around that. This is a voice that, for those of you who may have listened to Brain Damage in the past, this voice might actually mean something to you. I'm not going to introduce the person. I'm just going to allow him to say something, and I think the person might jar some memories.
Indubitably.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Jim, it's certainly been a nice day today, wouldn't you say?
I would certainly say that.
Things have gotten very interesting over the past couple of days, in world news and that kind of thing. Do you think we're moving towards some really historic events in history?
Perhaps.
Well said, well said. Jim Wiener, welcome. Welcome live to the studio.
Thank you very much.
And this proves that Jim is more than just a machine. Actually, you're not a machine at all, is what I mean to say. For many years, Jim was a frequent passerby to brain damage, because you did the classical show before that program.
Yes, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the classical show or brain damage?
The classical show and visiting brain damage uh-huh. also.
Yeah, and I'd sometimes visit the classical show.
Yes, that was fun too.
Make funny noises while you were announcing, Beethoven and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think that it's conceivable that perhaps Beethoven mm-hmm. might have appreciated the embellishments.
I'd like to think that he would. I know Thomas Jefferson would have. I have that on good authority. But I should point out to you, Jim, that we've been putting episodes of Brain Damage online. And what that means is that more than the five or six people who listened to the show while we were doing it live, now there are literally thousands of people that have downloaded it and are listening to it. And I have to say, you have become somewhat of a cult phenomena. In places such as Australia and Norway, they've declared Wiener Day. I don't joke about this. I've traveled. I've actually traveled two places. I was in Copenhagen once, and people were talking about you, asking me questions about you.
Well, about me or about the letter U?
About your voice, really, because they didn't know you personally, but they were fascinated by you.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just something that it's amazing to see develop after all this time, because those shows were about, 10 years ago or so, and people still take an interest. And we were talking about, news that was going on back then, which I think is still pertinent today. It's still interesting to listen to and see how history repeats itself. It's good to have you here live in the studio.
Thank you. Thank you. It's very gratifying if people are enjoying the programs the world over.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just
after,
goes to show that
all these years
that USB programming is world-class programming.
Yes.
I've always said that.
Well said.
Now we can prove it,
Indeed.
Because the world can listen now.
Indeed.
Yeah. So there's a bit of a flurry of activity there before. So
yes.
A lot of phones ringing.
Yes.
People get hurt running around?
Fortunately, no.
Okay.
No, we try to maintain attention to safety here. And
it's interesting because usually we have all the phones in the conference room, and that's where all the volunteers are. But apparently, I thought Radiothon was in full swing, and apparently it just began now. All the phones are still in different rooms. So what that means is that every time a phone rings, you have to run to a different room.
Yeah, we're gearing up, and we'll be in full gear shortly. But there is has been a lot of activity, very gratifying.
Look, we have people to thank. Let's see. This person wants to be known as Random Sample. Okay, that's a great name. From Stokesdale, North Carolina. Thank you very much for your generous pledge. Let's see. Nasser from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you for your call. And this looks like Derek from... can you say that, Jim? It's in Virginia.
Yes. It looks like Midhothian.
Midhothian. Please don't take back your pledge because we mispronounced your town. These are all new towns to us because, we're here on the island and people are calling from all over the world. Thanks very much for your very generous pledge as well. Our number remains 631-632-WUSB. Do we have the toll-free number? Is that
yes, we do.
We do. Okay, what is that number?
It's 1-800-394-WUSB or 1-800-394-9872.
Okay, and that's for people that I guess are at payphones or something and don't want to throw money into them but want to throw money our way. Right. You can call that number instead. Of course, that doesn't work overseas, so if you're calling from overseas, you might have a way of doing it, but I don't know of a way. 631-632-WUSB. We have two calls on the line right now. Be nice to make that five. And we have all these cool premiums. Can you believe all the stuff we have? It's really good.
A lot of stuff.
I mean, you should pledge for this, Jim. It's You know, you're not going to get it anywhere else. You're not going to get a 2600 sweatshirt, you know, hooded sweatshirt.
Hmm.
You know? Imagine skulking around town with a hooded sweatshirt, you know? People saying, there goes Jim Wiener.
Well, speaking of skulking, I'm sorry to do this, but thank you for having me in here, but I've got to run out if there are other calls, and I got to check on some things. But thanks, Eric, and
thanks
so
much
to all
for
the
your
listeners
for
all the interest.
And you know, you have a chance
and
if you call
generosity,
in.
I should say.
If you call in and pledge, you have a chance that Jim Wiener might be the one to pick up the phone, right?
And please don't let that deter you.
If
you feel better about me using a different voice than I have, I'll be glad to make believe I'm somebody else.
The goal
call.
Was to make
no
them
problem.
Excited, but I guess I can see where that might have backfired.
No.
Okay, but Jim, right before you leave, I just want to ask you one more question. Let me think of a good one here. Let's see. Do you think that we will reach our goal?
Possibly.
Here at the Radiothon is what I meant.
Possibly.
Possibly. Funny, I got the same response twice in a row.
Possibly.
Okay, let's
possibly.
Wheel him out of here.
Possibly.
And, yeah, we'll...
Possibly.
All right. Hey, Jim, Jim's leaving.
Possibly.
Jim Wiener there, live on the airwaves. And we have Random Sample from North Carolina is joining us now on the phone. Are you there, Mr. Random?
Hey, Emmanuel, what's up?
How you doing there? Okay, how do you pronounce your town?
What's that now?
How do you pronounce the town that that you live in?
Oh, it's Stokesdale.
Stokesdale. Oh, okay. North Carolina. I was thinking Virginia. Well, we want to thank you very much for pledging. Are you a long-time listener to Off the Wall?
Since its inception, yeah. I'm a long-time listener to Off the Hook and Brain Damage, and we went to the same junior high school in high school, actually.
You and me went to the same junior high school in high school?
Yeah, I'm from Setauket.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. How about that? That's something.
Yeah. If you remember back to... last summer's conference, I'm the guy that ran up to you and told you they stole the sign off the van.
Ah, yes, I remember that. I remember the chase that followed that. That was pretty exciting.
There you go.
Well, you know, we're still looking into that, by the way, and we still have leads.
Investigation pending, I see.
Yeah, well, no, investigation's still ongoing. We're going to find those people. So they can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. That's the message that I want to send across. So,
anyway, I wanted to say the last week's program, when you were talking about your experiences at Gelinas.
I didn't go to Gelinas. I went to Murphy.
Murphy, that's right.
Did you go to Gelinas?
Murphy, I went to Gelinas.
Ah, so we didn't go to the same junior high school. We went to Ward Melville, though, the same high school.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Did we know each other then, or you must have gone after me, right?
You've got me by 2 years.
Okay.
I was a lowly freshman when you were a senior, so we never met in high school.
Okay,
I didn't meet you until the first Hope conference.
Well, me and my friends might have intimidated you and your friends then. There's always that possibility.
Probably some of the same, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, let me ask you a question then.
Yeah.
This is a real long shot. If you were there during my senior year, I was involved in an underground newspaper that we started. The regular newspaper at Ward Melville was called Kaleidoscope.
Right.
But me and a couple of friends started this underground newspaper. It was called Revelations. Do you remember that by any chance?
I never came across it.
Okay. I didn't think you would, but it was just, you know, since you were there at the same time, we basically...
I came across it. I spent a lot of time trying to improve the smokehouse atmosphere.
The smokehouse. I remember the smokehouse. There was a smoking shed at the back of the school.
That's the very same.
How did that work exactly? I mean, you know, with underage smokers and all that. How did they bypass that little regulation?
I don't think they did. I think they were content to kind of throw us outside in the elements and turn a blind eye, actually.
Uh-huh. Boy, things have changed. I mean, you know, because people were smoking so much, they built a smoking shed for kids in the back of the high school.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't do that for teachers these days.
Well, no, not up there. Uh-huh. And it's getting that way down here, too, in the tobacco belt.
That's right. You're in North Carolina. That's people smoke more than ever. Or
yeah.
Tobacco, anyway. Well, can you possibly help us get some phone calls? Tell people why it's important to support the station.
Well, for the same reason we support the other show, we need an alternative to the mainstream media to get the people's opinion out, and for no other reason than that. Truth in broadcasting is what it's about, and the people need to know that what they're hearing on CNBC et al. Is not necessarily what your neighbor down the street is thinking. And today, more than ever, it's incredibly important.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's great that you're all the way down there in North Carolina, but you still have ties to the community and you still have ties to the whole concept of what we're doing here. And it's, you know, I guess it's a small world, I guess is really the best thing to say.
It's a very small world. And for what it's worth, actually, I'm working on opening a company up there. So if things go well, I'll be home in Setauket probably by August.
Oh, that's great. I'm sure you'll find it. Well, you know, it's not really the same as it was. Have you been by since you left?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was down there for the conference last summer, so I took a couple of days, met up with everybody that I knew in Setauket, spent a few days out east in the, in the Hamptons on the beach.
Yeah, I'm really upset with the overdevelopment that's taken place, you know, around here. I'm sure it takes place in the country, too, in various ways, but especially on Long Island, it just seems like they're building everywhere they can possibly build and sticking things places, you know, and it's, you know, Long Island is great because there are the open spaces, there's, you know, the wildlife and all that, but it is an island, so if you keep building on it, there's going to be less and less of it to go to. And
basically, I mean, they had that whole Pine Barrens watershed initiative, which they got through, which I thought was great.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that spooked me the most, perhaps, and I've been down here for now 10 years of self-imposed exile, but Jericho Turnpike was downright frightening.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
It's rumored to be the scariest road in the world, and that includes the beltway around Moscow. Because of all the different stores and driveways and traffic, and it's just extremely dangerous. Thank you. We want to thank Kevin from Hanahan, South Carolina. Oh, we have a South Carolina person as well. Thanks very much for your donation. Very generous donation there. And thanks to everybody who's calling in. Our number is 631-632-WUSB or 394-WUSB, is that right? Someone scream if I'm getting that wrong. I don't see it written down somewhere. Please give us a call, and our volunteers will be able to help you through the whole pledging process. It means a great deal to us. Well, listen, Mr. Random, I want to thank you again for your support, and hope you come back to Setauket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we need more people like you around.
I used to make pizzas at Goody's.
Oh, Goody's. I remember. Wow, this is great. We can talk about old times.
And Anthony's, and now it's, I guess, Luigi's. So when I get up there, I'll buy a pizza and a beer.
Yeah, that would be great. We can reminisce about the way things used to be.
Ah, once upon a time.
Once upon a time. Hey, thanks again.
Take care, Emmanuel. Good to talk to you.
All right, you take care.
Bye-bye.
And that was one of our listeners from North Carolina. Thanks very much for them calling in, for all the people who are calling in now. We're into our last couple of minutes, so please give us a phone call, 631-632-WUSB. Pledge your support. Again, for a pledge of $100, you get everything. You get all the T-shirts and mugs and hats that you could shake a stick at, along with an autographed copy of Freedom Downtime, the 2600 documentary, and a hooded sweatshirt, and enough war stickers for you to stick on whatever it is you feel would be appropriate to have a red sticker on that says the war. 631-632-WUSB is our phone number. Yeah, I just been thinking about how things have changed. I don't want to get into this whole, you know, nothing's the same anymore, and everything's bad these days, because there's a lot of good things going around. A lot of people seem to be waking up to you know, to what's happening, being more active, being more alert. But I'm just thinking of the local area and how things have gotten all developed. They call it development. I call it destruction. That's got to be something that we can do things about, you know, prevent it from happening. You know, just the other day, I was driving down Route 347, which is the divided highway around here. And what do I see? I see the local Kmart. The local Kmart, which they built a few years ago, going out of business. Kmart going out of business. What do you think about that? And then, you know, about a mile or so down the same road, coming soon, Walmart. They're building another building. In fact, I think they built it already. for Walmart while Kmart is going out of business. Now, I'm naive. I'm dumb. I don't know how any of these things work. But it seems to me like they could probably work this out. It might be a little bit more paperwork. But why in God's name can't they put the Walmart into the Kmart that's going out of business? And then maybe we'll have some trees left for the birds. You know? And the raccoons, so they don't have to go into people's kitchens. That's my naive view of the world. Well, we've run out of time. But you haven't. You can still call us at 631-632-WUSB. We'll be back again next week with more. And, yes, we'll be asking for funds then as well, because we have a goal to reach, and we've made a good step towards that tonight. I want to thank everybody for calling in. And we'll see you tomorrow night at 7 on the other radio station, WBAI, as we count down to war. Next week is going to be a very interesting show, I have a feeling. Stay safe, everyone. Stay free. Good night.
You have a natural tendency to squeeze off and shut. You're good for the parties. You wear that like masks. You're old, but you still like a laugh in the locker room. You can't buy change with a home on the range. You open the suitcase behind your workings to show off the magnum. You're definitely king. A comfort of friend. Only upstaged at the end by the Uzi machine gun. Does the beaker remind you? Remind you of six old men? What the hell you gonna kill them? Yeah. Old time, who you gonna kill next? I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Sir, you were marine and I looked at I swam in your pools, lay under your palm trees. I looked at the eyes of the Indian who lay on the federal building steps. I threw the rangefinder over the hill. Saw the football boys popping their pills. Sick of the mess they find on their desert stage. And the bravery, the peanut range. Yeah, the question is fixed. Oh man, what the hell you gonna kill next? Oh time, who you gonna kill next?
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.